Good evening. Welcome. It's good to see everyone here this evening for this Maundy Thursday service. And before I get into the Maundy Thursday service, I am just bubbling over about this photocopier situation. For those of you who don't know what happened, our photocopier, which the church bought when the church was opened, way back when, and it's been dying a slow and terrible death. Terrible for Michelle, who had to try and get the thing to keep going. And Richard went to Calgary, and he was looking at photocopiers, and he actually chose one. And I can imagine a salesman on his back trying to get a check out of him. Now, trying to get a check out of Richard is always difficult. But on this particular occasion, Richard deferred and he said, "No, I need to talk about with my colleagues first." And when all this was going on, Mike Robertson, our chairman, he got an email from someone from the school that he teaches at in Three Hills, telling him that a photocopier had become available if anybody was looking for one. And I think when Mike phoned Richard, what he said to him was, "I had to make an executive decision. It's on the truck." You know, talk about God moves in a mysterious way. And so now our almost dead old photocopier is in the corridor here. And now our new alive, it's alive. We should have had it on Easter Sunday. Our new alive photocopier is, we're just waiting for Richard to fathom out how to use it. And then we can teach all of us how to use it. So we are delighted by that, and I think it's just incredible. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. We are thankful. We praise the Lord for him moving in his mysterious ways. Welcome to Maundy Thursday, a service of remembrance. On the Thursday of Holy Week, the day before the Friday of Christ's crucifixion, this day, Jesus took his disciples to that upper room where they shared with Jesus his final meal, the meal that we refer to as the Last Supper. And so in the first part of this Maundy Thursday service of remembrance, we go with Christ and his disciples to the upper room, and we will share with Christ his Last Supper, and we will do this because Jesus commanded us to do this. He commanded us to. And so we'll begin our service with a responsive call to worship, which you'll find in your bulletin, and you might even find it on the screen. "Love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will lead my house to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord." We will stand and we will sing the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Thank you. Our Old Testament reading is Exodus 12, 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." Our next reading is Luke 22, 14 through 22. "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of God will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him.'"
Thanks to Laurie for those readings. And so that first reading from Exodus, as you will understand, is about the what the Passover celebrates, when God brought his people out of the land of Egypt and that last terrible plague that he inflicted upon the Egyptians because they would not listen to God. And of course the New Testament reading is Jesus and his disciples celebrating that Passover, the same Passover that we celebrate today, this very night. And so before we take communion, we will remain seated and we will read together the set prayer of confession, which is a standard prayer of confession as a leading to communion on this holy night. So we read together. Lord Jesus, we too have stood in the courtyard like Peter. We love you, yet we have stood at a distance. We have put our own conditions on the relationship we have with you. We have warmed ourselves at our enemy's fire, and it made us feel warm and comfortable. We cannot live without you. We ask your forgiveness. We come to you. We need your help every day to remind us that whatever we are asked to do, or wherever we are asked to go, that, as your disciples, we must decide if this will enrich our relationship or cause it to deteriorate. We thank you for offering us your forgiveness. We thank you for your willingness to die in our place. We thank you for your loving presence that makes it possible for us to live our lives as forgiven children of God. Amen. There is a set collect for this night before communion, and that is what I'm about to read now. Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully, in remembrance of Christ Jesus our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. We will now be taking communion, and this is the communion whereby we take a piece of bread and we dip it in the cup and we eat that bread with the wine. It has a special name, and I've no idea what it is. I know what it's like, but I couldn't tell you exactly. I don't want to misquote. But it doesn't matter what it's called. We know what we're doing, and we know why we're doing it. So Laurie and I will serve each other with communion first, and then I would ask our young people who are to be our readers in the second part of the service if they would come and take their communion. And each of us, when you come for your communion, we come this way, take your communion, and head into the Garden of Gethsemane, which is the hall part of our church. And so Laurie and I will move forward and we'll take it first. Thank you. Thank you. this part of our Maundy Thursday service of remembrance represents the Garden of Gethsemane, the place that Jesus went with his friends as soon as they left the Last Supper in the upper room. We call this part of the service the Cross of Light. Jesus is the light of the world, but he says to all who follow him, in this dark world, you are the light of the world. As Jesus drew closer to the cross of his crucifixion, the lights of his followers were gradually extinguished, finally leaving Christ alone in the darkness. Following each short scripture reading, one of the lights will be extinguished. Then there will follow a few moments of silence and reflection before the next reading takes place.
Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me."
Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike like the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
Jesus went out as usual to Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel of heaven from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
Just just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him.
Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that have you come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
"What shall I do, then, with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children."
After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and that Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you give me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began."
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together a whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews."
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he gave up his spirit to the Lord. And there was darkness in the whole land. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his light will never ever be extinguished. Christ's life of light is our passage from darkness in life to light in life. And for this, each of us say thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you for attending this Maundy Thursday service of remembrance. And on your behalf, I would like to thank our young people for presenting the scripture readings in such a good way, a great way, which made this time so meaningful. Thank you, each of you. Thank you so much.